27 for our text, verse 13. Paul said, when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euryclidon. When the ship was caught and could not bear up in the wind, we let her drive, and running under a certain island that was called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. The third day we cast out their own hands the tackling of the ship, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, no small tempest lay on us, and all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and this loss. You may be seated tonight. Father, we love you. So we thank you for this time together. Thank you for the good morning we've had. Lord, for the sweetness of the Spirit of God. Help us tonight to stand true to your word. I pray, God, you would help me to preach tonight. God, in a way that please you, help us, help our nation, help our church, our families tonight. In Jesus' name I pray and I ask you, amen and amen. Preaching about the tempestuous winds of Euryclidon, violent winds that are blowing. We that are older tonight, we do understand that violent winds bring harm. And when you hear a weatherman give a forecast, you know what you do? You batten down the hatches. You get prepared for the storm. I've never understood why people would listen to more instructions from a weatherman than they would from a man of God. And you know, the weather is very unpredictable, but our Bible is very predictable tonight. And we live in a time when the Word of God is doubted and people do that which is right in their own eyes. But these winds that are blowing, we dealt last Sunday night on the thought of the socialism and how it goes against the teachings of the Scripture, against the home, against man's responsibility. But tonight I would like to deal with this issue of our traditional values of the family, of that of marriage, of man and woman. We live in a day and an hour when the same-sex marriage, they tell you that we are to be tolerant and we are to have diversity. Well, I realize that in a culture, but in our church, in what we believe, there is no room for tolerance of homosexuality. And certainly tonight, in our traditional values of the family, something that was very disturbing to me in statistics that may alarm you tonight, 62% of Americans are now in favor of same-sex marriage in our country. 32% only oppose in 2007. But 54% of all Americans that were against gay marriage, there were only 37% in favor of it. So in our time today, over the past 10 years, people have doubled in their opinion where same-sex marriage was okay from 10 years ago. Since 2010 to 2020, look at the landslide that's happened in our culture. You know, the average American, you know, you think about this, they watch 5 hours of TV or social media a day. Through these media outlets, there are simply 6 major media outlets that control that market. And they all, they are advancing the pro-gay agenda in our time. If you allow anybody to feed that much programming into your mind for 5 hours a day, it's going to have an impact on your worldview. That's one reason I notice in these statistics that there are those that were born since 1963. Since 1964, 47% of those evangelicals, they believe in same-sex marriage, that it's okay. In the Southern Baptist Association, we are an independent missionary Baptist church. It means that we don't report to anybody but God. Nobody gives us a format of what we do. We simply are Bible-believing Christians that have come together and have formed a church under Liberty Missionary Baptist Church. And the Southern Baptist Association, they had a new president to come in place, and he's a younger guy. He's sort of in the who's who market. And so now he's taken that whole organization that they would tolerate same-sex marriage. So what's happened now, the whole structure is leaning. And anytime anything begins to lean, soon it will fall unless you do something about it. We have so many high-powered TV evangelists that used to stand on the Word of God and call homosexuality sin, but now they preach it as a tolerance level. Well, it's okay. Well, let me tell you, it's not okay. We don't hate gay people. We're not mean to gay people. It's just we're not tolerant of that lifestyle. No different am I tolerant of a drunkard lifestyle. Homosexuality is sin tonight. And so certainly in our Bible, it's been many views taken, but I want to give you a Bible view, and it's not my view, it's what the Bible says. And I want you to look, I don't know if you ever noticed this, but I found in studying this weekend in Luke 17 and verse 26. Let's go there tonight. Luke 17, verse 26. Something else that may alarm you is now there are transgender pastors in the Baptist church. So let me ask you, what happened to the preaching in America? Our church has grown in size. You don't have to be a liberal to have a large church. You don't have to come off the Word of God to build a church. But what's happened in many places, the preachers are fearful if they preach the Bible the way God said, the way God wrote it, then they're going to offend people. They're going to lose a crowd. They're going to lose the money. But let me tell you something. If you don't build a church on Bible truths, you don't have a church tonight. And so we must realize, my age group and up, we realize basically what our Bible says and why we believe it. But what about this younger generation that's going to be in leadership in the next 10, 15, and 20 years, and how they're being educated in a system where nothing is wrong? It's scary. It's scary for my grandchildren and your grandchildren. I never thought 30 years ago when I started preaching, I never thought that somebody would bring in a transgender person to pastor their church. So let me ask you, why did these things happen? Somebody has come off the pulpit and quit preaching. And then the people has quit standing with the preacher because it's offended some. But tonight, let me tell you, this Bible offends me about every day of my life. But I've got to deal with it and apply my life to it. I don't change the Word of God, I change me. And so tonight, Luke 17, verse 26. As it was in the days of Noah. We've heard that phrase a lot. I've preached out of that text. So shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat. They drank. They married wives. They were given in marriage till the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Let me tell you, honey, the laughing stopped that day. The Bible said, likewise, as it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planned, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. So it lets me know there are some things that had to do with Sodom that's going to go on in this day and hour that you and I live. He says this in the days of Lot. He said the Son of Man would be revealed, or Jesus would return. Tonight we see, first of all, this alluding to this phrase of Sodom. The word sodomy is directed from this phrase, the word of Sodom. And so, it's four things I want to look at of this thing of Sodom tonight, or this same-sex marriage. First of all, let's look at the text of Sodom. The text of Sodom. Ezekiel chapter 16. Ezekiel 16. I'm going to give you time to get there. I hope you take some notes tonight. In Ezekiel 16, I want you to look in verse 48. The Lord has spoken to the prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel is alluding to how bad Jerusalem has got, and he compares it to our text of Sodom. I've never noticed this in the Bible, but in Ezekiel 16, verse 48, we see the text of Sodom. The Lord said, He wrote through the prophet, As I live, saith the Lord God, speaking to Jerusalem, Sodom thy sister hath not done, she nor her daughters, as thou hast done, thou and thy daughters. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, abundance of idleness was in her, and in her daughters, neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. They were haughty, and committed abomination before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw good. The Lord required to that as an abomination. What does that word simply mean? Abomination means a thing that causes disgust or hatred from God. So we see this text of Sodom, and then in our New Testament, in 2 Peter chapter number 2, 2 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 4, here Peter's writing and he refers again to Sodom. Sodom is not just an Old Testament term, it's a New Testament term. And so here, Peter says in 2 Peter 2, verse number 4, For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. So we see the ungodly influence of Sodom. That is our text of Sodom. But now let's go in the Bible, Genesis 18, and let's look at the town of Sodom. Genesis 18, the town of Sodom. Genesis 18, I'm going to start reading in verse number 20. Genesis 18, verse number 20. I'll give you a moment to get there. You get there, say amen tonight. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin, I'll tell you what God said about it, it's very grievous. I will go down now and see whether they've done altogether according to the cry of it, which is coming to me, and if not, I will know. The men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom. Now Abraham appears, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Preacher, what's the issue? Abraham has a nephew in Sodom named Lot. It's disturbed Abraham because God has told him he's fixing to destroy Sodom. And Abraham said, wait a minute, Lot, my nephew's in Sodom. So he starts talking to the Lord. He says, Lord, you're going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. I want to ask you something. And he starts in verse 24 with 50. He said, if there's 50 righteous people in that city, would you still destroy it? And God said, if it's 50 righteous in it, I won't destroy it. He goes to 40, 30, 20, and he gets down to 10. And Abraham tells God, he said, well, okay, God, if there's 10 there in verse 32, said, will you spare it? And so the Bible said in verse 32, he said, peradventure 10 shall be found there. He said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. The Lord went his way as soon as he had left communion with Abraham. Abraham returned unto his place. Now it starts. I want you to follow me closely. Now I won't be long in this text, but watch. So there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot was there. Lot is the nephew of Abraham, and Lot sat at the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face to the ground. And he said, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. Lot said, come into my house where there's rest and protection. They said, no, we're going to stay in the street all night in Sodom. Verse 3, and he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in to him and entered into his house, and he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. Now these are the angels of God. They are messengers that have went to Sodom. Lot has brought them in his house. Verse 4, but before they lay down, or they lay down to sleep, the Bible says the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, and watch your Bible, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said to him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them, that we could have a relation with them, that we could be intimate with them. Men wanting men. And Lot went out at the door unto them. Look what he says. And he shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. The Bible said it was wicked. Behold now, look what he says. I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do you to them as is good in your eyes. Only these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. Verse 9. The homosexual crowd is still screaming this tonight, and they said, stand back. And let me tell you, that's what that whole community is telling the Christian people tonight. Stand back. Don't say nothing. Let me tell you, it's time to stand up as God's people and say right is still right and wrong is still wrong. So they say stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn. He will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them? And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot of the house, so the angels did to them, and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. Tonight, the town of Sodom. You'll notice here, it was young and old. Now, no doubt this lifestyle was being taught, or the young people would not have been there. Tonight it's very important what we're teaching our young people. And so here we've seen this text of Sodom. We've seen this town of Sodom. God said that it grieved Him. Their sin is very grievous. So God calls the sin of homosexuality grievous. It bothers God. And so here in our outline, not only this text of Sodom, this town of Sodom, but let's look at this teaching against Sodom. What does the Bible say about it? Not my opinion, not your opinion. What does the Word of God teach us about same-sex marriage? Okay. Leviticus 18:22. First of all, it's in the law of God. Leviticus 18:22. You ought to underline this in your Bible and take you some notes tonight. Leviticus 18:22. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. I'll read that again. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Then you hear a lot of the liberals say, well, okay, that's Old Testament, but the New Testament is neutral about homosexuality. No, it's not neutral about homosexuality. Turn with me in your Bibles. Romans in the New Testament, chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1, verse number 18. Romans 1 and 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. Look in verse 20. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. In other words, we'll all stand before God without an excuse. We can realize there is a God. I personally believe that a man can look at creation and realize there is a God. I believe man can look in his conscience and realize there is a God, there is a supreme being. And if that man wants light, I believe God will give him light. I believe man has responsibility to be saved with God. A lot of the Calvinistic views in the doctrines of today, they'll say, well, God only saves the elect. Let me tell you something tonight. Jesus died for all. And all will give an account unto God because the light of creation and the light of conscience according to Romans chapter 1. Verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds, to four-footed beasts, and to creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Now, you notice here, Here's a group of people that God gave up. In other words, they didn't want God. God said, okay, you can have your sin and go without me. Let me tell you, you're not going to get saved when you want to get saved. You're going to get saved when God deals with you. So here we see there are some did not want God. And so verse 26, the Bible said, verse 25, who changed the truth of God into lie, worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use and that which is against nature. In other words, women, they loved women. They wanted to be with women. God said that's not natural. It's not natural for a woman to kill her baby. And likewise, look verse 27, likewise also the men leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their lust one toward another. Time out. What is homosexuality? It's nothing but lustful sin. Lustful sin. They burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly. That word has to do with not natural. These young boys come in, they see these pretty girls, they're supposed to look pretty to them. Somebody say amen. Me and Parker went to Chick-fil-A, Brother Randall, the other day, and I held the door for a little young girl. She come in about 15, 16. Little Parker standing there, goo-goo out, he said, "Whoo, Pop, that's a pretty girl." I said, "That's right, son. That's exactly right." So God intended for me to marry a woman because I'm a man. Now watch. Men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves in recompense of the error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Go ahead and shake your fist at God and say, "I don't need you." And He'll say, "That's fine. You may don't think that you don't need me, but you need me because you're going to stand before Him one day." Therefore, the New Testament is not neutral on homosexuality. The teaching against Sodom. Now, let's see what God said about the home, real briefly. See what God said, Genesis 1:26. Genesis 1:26. You say, "Preacher, that's so elementary. You would be amazed that the people don't know what this Bible says." Genesis 1:26. Let's look what God said. "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. We have soul, spirit, and body." That's the way God made us. "Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in His own image, in the image of God created He him. Underline it. Male and female. God is not confused about gender. Male and female created He them. "And God blessed them, and God said unto them," watch this, "be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish, over the fowl, over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God's purpose for man, first of all, was to reflect, was to rule, and then to reproduce. Homosexuals cannot produce children. They may be trying to have a home and a marriage and raise children, but it's unbiblical and it's ungodly tonight. Every child needs a mama. Every child needs a daddy. Teaching against Sodom. What God said. Genesis 2:21 now. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh and seed thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she is taken out of the man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife. And they shall be one flesh. They were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. The husband and the wife. Male and female. There's the text of Sodom. The town of Sodom. The teaching against Sodom. We've seen a balanced approach, Old Testament, New Testament, from Leviticus to Romans. We've seen what God said, and I've heard this said a lot, well, Jesus was neutral about it, so we're just going to accept it. We're going to let that lifestyle pastor our church, teach our Sunday schools, lead our choirs, teach our people the hymn. Let me tell you something, Jesus was not neutral on homosexuality. Look in Mark's Gospel, chapter number 10. Mark's Gospel, chapter number 10. Two of the biggest things that's trying to sweep our nation tonight is abortion, same-sex marriage. If those two things were in control when our forefathers founded this country, none of us would be here today. Not a one of you would be here. Mark 10:5. Jesus said some hard things right here about marriage. Jesus answered and said to them, "For the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept," talking about Moses. "But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female." From the beginning of the creation, Jesus just said, God made them male and female. "For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife." Look it up in the Greek, honey. That's female. "And they twain shall be one flesh, so then they are no more twain, but one flesh." Lastly tonight, the text of Sodom. We've seen it in Ezekiel. God compared it. We've seen not only the text, but the town. Then we've seen the teaching against Sodom. But lastly tonight, let's look at the turning away from Sodom. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Last place I go tonight. 1 Corinthians 6:9. I could preach an hour out of what I'm fixing to read to you this evening out of just a couple of verses. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Let's see what the Word of God says. Not my opinion, not your opinion. What does the Lord say? "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate." That word means soft. Means soft. A soft raiment of material is what that word means. "Nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now look in verse 11. And such were some of you. Some of those folks had gotten saved out of homosexuality. Do you see that in your Bible tonight? And so were some of you. Can I tell you, the blood of Jesus can wash you clean tonight. You say, well, preacher, homosexuality, what? It's sin. It's sin. A person's got to be born again. They've got to be saved. Now, I've got different views and opinions of what I think about this, but I'll let you take it as God wrote it tonight. I personally believe a person can go too far with God. I believe the saved can go too far with God. I believe the unsaved can go too far with God. God is a God of balance. Let me tell you something. What I've preached about tonight is in my family. I'm not mean to them people. I don't kick them people to the curb. But I teach my children that's not our lifestyle. I've got a line drawn in the sand. So I do with drinking, doping, living a life of ungodliness. Somebody's got to stand up and say, whoa, ain't happening. I can tell you, cut me off the radio now. That's enough. I'm going to say something. I'm closing.